So, all right, I will call the Ferdinand Board of Zoning Appeals meeting to order for the Wednesday, October 22nd at 6:39 PM, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Start with roll call. Oh, I'm sorry, I gotta read one bit before I do that. This meeting is being recorded. This is a reminder, this meeting is being live streamed and recorded. Your attendance at this meeting is your consent to be live streamed, recorded, and rebroadcast on the town's website. If you have any electronic devices, please put them on airplane mode. Thank you for your cooperation. Now we begin with roll call. Mark Dilger here. Don Farina?
Here.
Don Forrester?
Here.
Jenna Beaker-Jones? Absent. Jenny Etter?
Here.
And Sharon Bonenkepper?
Here.
First order of business is minutes from the previous meeting. I don't know if any of the rest of you have read them. I'll give you a brief second, but I did. I did not find any errors. And I would make a motion to approve the minutes I presented.
Second.
Motion made by Mark Dilger to approve the minutes, seconded by Jenny Etter. We will, because Don is via virtual, we will do a roll call. Mark Dilger, yes. Don Farina?
Yes.
Don Forrester?
Yes.
Jenna absent. Jenny Etter?
Yes.
Motion passed 4-0-1. New business, Vertical Bridge Towers, the petitioner, and SERS Incorporated property owner, requests permission for permission to construct and operate a communication tower at 874 West 9th Street in Ferdinand, Indiana, which requires a special exception per the Ferdinand Zoning Ordinance and which requires a variance because the radius of the area property from the proposed tower location is less than the total height of the tower, and there is an engineer report of the fall zone to be provided. So I would invite the petitioner, Vertical Bridge Towers, or the representative to please state your name, and I'm sorry, before you get started, just for everybody else, all those that are in the room, I would ask that you do not ask any questions out loud unless the chair recognizes you. You will be asked to come to the podium, state your name for the record, and then all questions or comments should be directed toward the Board of Zoning Appeals, not to the petitioner or the owner. All right, thank you. So,
good evening, Board. My name and Sharon and neighbors. My name is Daniel Pettis. I'm representing Vertical Bridge. We are here seeking approval for, as you stated, a special exception for a communication tower and facility with a variance for setback. We are proposing a 195-foot monopole tower with a 4-foot lightning rod. You know, we're located, as I'm sure as you know, at 874 West 9th Street. That's just east of the intersection with Industrial Park Road. This is a site that AT&T came to Vertical Bridge with a need for improved coverage just due to the increase of users in the area. We have worked with SERS on a lease agreement for a 75-foot by 75-foot lease area. Inside that lease area is a 50 by 50 fenced compound that will be surrounded with Leland cypress trees for just a buffer. The variance mentioned, you know, in the ordinance, you know, you want tower height from the property line. You know, I'm sure as a safety measure in case of failure. A monopole tower by design and engineering is very unprone to failure of that magnitude. The way they're designed is they, you know, they bend or lean over with the foundation, and that's rated for three second wind gusts at 106 miles an hour. Engineer's letter states that it would take more than twice that to incur full failure. It, you know, it would just blow it over, and that's over 200 miles an hour. That's an EF5 tornado. So if the tower blows over from the EF5 tornado, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing to blow on. So it just, it, they're very unlikely for complete failure like that. And so with the variance in the letter, you know, they deemed it technically a 0 foot fall radius because it should not fall. It will lean. I know I'm sure there are questions, obviously, with neighbors. That's basically the gist of the project. I don't know if there's any other questions immediately or.
I'll open it up and it'll probably hopefully answer some before any petitioners get up there. I had a couple of them.
Okay.
So, Mr. Pettis, you had, so AT&T contacted Vertical Bridge about the need for a tower in this area.
That's right.
Do they specifically determine the location, or they allow, or is that Vertical Bridge's responsibility to determine the best location within the area they want to cover?
The way it works is we get a search area request form from AT&T. You know, we work with Verizon, T-Mobile. They basically give us a coordinate and a radius on a map, say we need a site in this location. And we scrub the zoning to find where tower will work, try to adhere to zoning. You know, we're proposing an industrial district here. But Vertical Bridge is, they're just one of the several tower companies. They're a very large tower company that works with AT&T to construct their sites for them. AT&T leases space on the Vertical Bridge towers.
Okay. May I ask, like, how big is the radius they give from their coordinate?
I believe we had a half mile radius.
And that is the distance where you will be, pardon me, where you will be able to get signal from that tower?
No. With the new technology and 5G, the network positioning is a lot more specific than it used to be. You know, you did see back with 3G, you know, it broadcasted further because it was mainly voice. Now we're dealing with data, higher speed demands. The 5G does not travel as far. So they're very specific with their location needs to not have towers too close to one another or too far from one another, so it's pretty precise. The search pin that we had for this is almost right on the search location. So that's the center of their search area. And that's...
You took from that area and you went half mile, 1 mile diameter and looked for a site within that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I understood?
Yep.
Okay.
And you've got the propagation map there. I know I'm here trying to get you to prove a tower, but I haven't seen a propagation map that pronounced in a while. I mean, it's obviously, from what their data is showing, a vast improvement in coverage in the area. And this will also be a FirstNet tower through AT&T. That's a kind of a enhanced 911 first responder type system where in the event of a emergency, you know, it gives responders priority on the network. So that's always nice to have for an area.
All right.
Go
ahead. Well, I've got two other ones. So that was the answer to that question. Does Vertical Bridge happen to operator, I guess, are you guys the actual owner of the tower?
Vertical Bridge owns the tower.
Vertical Bridge owns the tower and then leases the space to AT&T, Verizon, that sort of
yes.
thing, right? So do you own or operate any other towers within this area, just as a reference?
Not to my knowledge through Vertical Bridge. I didn't delve into that to see. They keep us pretty focused. So I don't know of any other vertical towers, or Vertical Bridge towers in the area.
Then the last question is, the town of Ferdinand has some verbiage, and I don't know that I found it exactly, about the desire for or preference for co-location on existing structures, towers, whatever's in the area. Can you elaborate on how you, do you stay within that half mile radius and only look within that half mile radius? Or, so I'm going to use the example, we know we have a tower approximately 1 mile north of this site. Is that something that AT&T must do, or is that something that Vertical Bridge does?
Well, when we look at a search ring, we will bring to them co-location opportunities.
Okay.
And just inside their focus search ring, there to support or not.
Okay.
And just to give you an idea of the finiteness to this, you know, and it kind of, from my work, it got kind of drives us crazy. They give us a search ring, and then we'll turn in candidates for that search ring for them to evaluate. And then it'll be inside their ring, and they'll reject because we're a little bit closer to another tower that's in the area, and literally say, you know, they'll focus us in, and it's, you know, maybe a half mile the other direction. So it's just their spacing is just so finite these days. What's too close? What's too far away?
All right.
My question to you is, 10 years ago, AT&T came in here, same location, same place.
Really?
And they said that that wasn't a proper location. Okay, and now why all of a sudden is that the same hotspot, a hotspot for AT&T?
I cannot answer. I know that when we deal with these sites, they have a lot of areas identified in different regions that could use a tower. And then things happen with budgets and things like that where, okay, they cancel the site and it goes away for a while. So I don't know if it was really this won't work for us, or it's just that the budget got moved and it took the priority off the build at the time. I really don't have the information to speak to that. And it could be that they've since got other priority sites up at the time. They said, well, we'll go here. This is what we need more maybe. And then now this fits into the network. I'm just really speculating on that, why it wasn't. Because we weren't privy to that. They didn't tell us that this was an old search ring. Search rings kind of get regurgitated for, you know, if there's no success one round of searches, then they'll give it to another site acquisition company to try to find, again, because ownership changes and people change their mind. Just, and we can reach people that we maybe didn't reach before, different things. So I just don't know the reason why 10 years ago it was not suitable.
And then we have a couple AT&T towers here. One's 2.5 miles southeast of here, past the interstate. And another one, two miles east by the forest. Okay. So why would this one here help out anymore? I mean, those two towers never helped anybody here because of the rolling hills and everything else. Everybody's always had problems with AT&T service.
Well, that's it. They'll try to cover the highways. And topography has a lot to do with it. It drives me crazy when I go into eastern Kentucky trying to, you know, it's in and out of signals. So topography has a big role to play. And this is just pretty focused on the town of Ferdinand. It's not central, but it's pretty well close. So, but 2 miles for a 5G tower, you'll see a decrease. It's you're not going to get great coverage 2 miles away.
Okay, well, this still has rolling hills going through here, and that's one of AT&T's mm-hmm. biggest problems. And that's down in a low-lying area. It's not up, okay? 195 feet is not going to cover the rolling hill situation, you know, for the town of Ferdinand.
It does affect it. That's just, you know, a fact. It's an improvement. You know, we're limited on our search by these guys are above my pay grade of RF engineers of what will work and what's needed where. And this is what they determined. And then we have to kind of work with the zoning districts that we have to work with where we can put it. You know, we wish it was as easy as we'd like a tower here and no problems. But, you know, some areas it's just not, just doesn't work with, not zoned right, you know. In the middle of a subdivision, which we don't do, you know, so topography is an issue, but they determined that this site will be an improvement.
The tower is going to be 195 feet tall, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're going to build it right next to the service building, not next to it, but close to it.
Yes, sir.
So if that tower decides to fall, just God, it doesn't, then it would take out that building there, or it would block the road going to the best chairs, or, you know, coming down either direction, north, south, east, or west. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what type of reassurance accidents happen no matter what?
Well, you know, we have the fall zone letter. That's the best information we can use to just how the how it's engineered. It's just not supposed to fall over unless there's just a catastrophic wind event. And that, you know, then these towers are, you know, when you drive through town, you'll see them right next to the roads. You'll see them right next to schools. You'll see them all over the place. And of course, there is, you know, that risk. But in this case, it's just extremely low. If it were a, you know, a self-support tower or a guide tower, even those are designed to more collapse on themselves to a point. They don't fall over like a tree. They'll fold in half before they just fall over like a tree.
Just for reference on that, Don, the town ordinance actually has monopoles that are to be inspected once every 10 years as compared to a ladder structure, which is once every 5 years, and a guide tower annually. So I don't know if you guys heard that back there, but so the town ordinance also has inspections required for any cell towers erected. For the monopole, as Vertical Bridge is proposing, we would require a once every 10-year inspection. For a lattice, that's an unguided, so that would be one like you have up to the north out here. That one is once every 5 years. And then a tower with the guy wires, I don't know if there's one near here, but you've all seen them, that's annually. So that's just for reference. Do you have anything else done right now?
Just equipment that you're going to use. You'll have to have a truck crane come in for that. I mean, you know, your contractor, he'll take care of all that.
Yes,
yes. Make sure their pad's down and make sure that there's any oil dry available in case they have a leak that doesn't go into the ground itself.
Yes, we are scrutinized with environmental. You know, we've had sites that, you know, maybe a salvage yard, something like that, that they just won't touch because there's a chance that something old will get blamed on them. They're very, I mean, we're under a more watchful eye by these environmental agencies than most people that have a, you know, construct a project. So that's something that they take very seriously.
And then one other last thing I have for you is you're going to put a moisture barrier down there. It's Solmax. It's being used. It's like a wickening yarn. And that's like a second grade product to use on the ground. Is that what's going to be used for that?
I don't have a lot of details understanding of the construction aspect of it and what materials they use. It's you know, I'm sure a pretty standard, you know, recipe for tower. You know, they come out and they drill to determine what kind of foundation they need, devise a drainage plan, you know, all that's thought out. So I would think that they're not looking to do maintenance on these any more than necessary. So, you know, to have something that would cause a water problem or an erosion problem, they're going to circumvent that. They don't want to baby, you know, to keep mending something. So I'm sure whatever they proposed is adequate, you know, as far as building permit. If you guys require something different, I'm sure they would, as long as it met their specifications, you know, do what they need to meet your specifications as well. If you've got an opinion on a piece of that.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay.
And this isn't going to cover any existing or future utility lines, water, sewer. The structure zone is, the structure is going to be away from any underground water, sewer,
yes,
anything
like
that.
Yes, they check for all of that.
I just have one other question. Those people around, were they given the opportunity to have a letter sent out to them explaining what was going on, and did everybody come back to you, or a few people come back to you notifying you that you they got your letter of this being built?
We didn't get any feedback directly that I'm aware of.
Do you have your green cards? I usually take those.
I have...
Oh, that's right. You did electronic.
I sent it to you, and I have copies today.
It's in their packets. I remember that now.
And those went out October 1st to the residents and the businesses affected from
the
dates that
I saw
in the email.
I believe it was before the deadline, and you have to...
The certification's in your packets.
Yeah, I mean, we sent it out before the deadline.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
It was actually long before, which is much appreciated because our post office does take quite a while.
I didn't want to forget. Right. I didn't want to be the one thing that messed it up for everybody.
In the packet, we have the findings, but some of them are not filled in, or they state that the information is in the packet that we received as the board. Have those findings and the rest of that information been made to the public?
Those are usually just in your packet.
So those, the findings have not been made public?
They would in this meeting.
They never have been,
yeah,
until the meeting.
They would in this,
correct,
meeting.
But some of them specifically state that the information for that answer is located in the packet that we got prior, not in the findings. So that has not been made, those findings have not been made public yet.
That's correct. They're made public here. And
correct.
As Mark usually does, he goes over it with the petitioner and asks for evidence of each of the categories.
Correct. If the tower should become obsolete or find that it's not sustainable, usable, feasible in any capacity, what would the circumstances be then? Would it be removed?
They remove it. That's a provision in the lease with the landowner, is a removal clause.
I believe we have something in our...
There's a time frame.
Yeah, there's a time frame. If it becomes inoperable, you're going to be notified in writing. Mm-hmm. And if it's inoperable for 6 months, then there is... that it must be removed, I think.
Yeah, it's a mandated removal.
Yeah, it's a mandated removal. So.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like we're covered on both sides there.
Start to finish when they start. To finish, what's like a time frame, barring all complications of the weather or whatever? Do they have a pretty fast, repetitive time of putting one up or getting it running or what?
30 to 60 days, just depending on factors, getting materials and weather. It's not too long. Pouring the foundation. You know, they'll usually have the tower up, and then once the tower up, then AT&T will come in and put their equipment in.
Don Forrester, do you have any questions?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
No.
So I'm going to pause there. I want to thank Mr. Pettis.
Sure.
I'm going to ask if there are any remonstrators that wish to speak at this time or ask any questions of the board.
Sure.
Thank you. So at this time, if there is anyone who wishes to speak or have a comment heard, I would invite you to come up. If you've already filled out a paper, thank you. Or please state your, when you get here, please state your name for the board. And then go ahead.
Good evening, Mark, Don, Jenny, Don, and Sharon. My name is Sue Longy. I live at 614 West 13th Street, which is very close to the proposed site. I'm here tonight to express my strong opposition to the proposed cell tower installation near our homes. I believe in the simple principle, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If any of us were making a decision that would affect our neighbors' daily lives, we'd want to be thoughtful and considerate of the impact. This project, as proposed, does not reflect that same level of care. In reality, the tower will be clearly visible from our homes, our yards, and our street. It will change the look and feel of the neighborhood we've all invested in and care deeply about. As the town grows and develops, the tower could possibly be in the middle of a neighborhood. The tower would especially affect the Gale houses, as it is just beyond their property line and they would be looking directly at it. Responsible planning respects both technical needs and the lived experience of residents. This is not just a technical or regulatory decision. It's a quality of life issue. I urge the board to consider how this project will affect the character and aesthetics of our neighborhood. Please have other locations and alternatives explored that meet goals without placing this burden directly on our neighborhood. Please do not approve this request. Thank you for serving on the board and your time and consideration. Also, my neighbor, Wayne Ozer, asked me to speak on his behalf. He was not able to be here. He is also a neighbor. And he says, I am definitely against the tower going in by SERS.
Okay. Sharon, you didn't ask, but did he happen to give you that in writing?
Oh, my text?
From Wayne. I guess we could enter that into the minutes or it's captured.
If you wouldn't mind doing a screenshot and sending it to Town Hall tomorrow, then we'll
keep
it with the records.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. Appreciate those comments. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak at this time?
Sorry, if I can see this here. Thank you for allowing me to say a few words this evening. My name is Betsy Hamilton Corley, and I am a lifelong resident of Ferdinand and also the owner of Solutions by Hamilton's, a business in Ferdinand since 1982. My concern is for the people living and working near the proposed site of this cell tower. I am concerned about the potential negative effects to the health of the nearby residents and other people in the general area as we discuss erecting a tower at this location in the immediate vicinity of town. There's a plethora of evidence to suggest that cell tower wireless radiation can be harmful to the biology of humans, animals, and even insects and trees. I'm wondering if the board is aware of and considering the long list of potential hazards that have been linked to cell tower radiation. I would like to share some information with the board and ask that you review. I've actually posted the information on my Facebook page that details health concerns that I'm speaking about the cell towers being located near residential areas. And I don't know if everybody has, I posted it as a public post, so if you're able to access my page, you should be able to see it. And if you can just watch the video, and then I also posted a link to a website that details a lot of this information. Don't know if you all know, but there is no federal agency that does any monitoring of cell tower pollution radiation, how people are affected by it. It's literally just kind of, you know, shot in the dark here. So if you can just watch that and, you know, and look on the website, and that's all. I'm just asking that you do not approve this request. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Betsy.
Just as Sue is providing the screenshot, if you could print out your Facebook post that you're referencing and all of those other things and send it to Town Hall, we will put it in with the records because we don't have the ability to do anything like that. I mean, we don't have a visual to put in
right.
The minutes.
And I apologize because I didn't know about this till late. So I posted it with the hopes that, because I know I'm friends with most people in here, that they could just go to it and watch it. But I'll do a screenshot and send it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Ava Gelhausen, and I live at 824 West 9th Street, which would be right next to the tower. I'm not a public speaker, so bear with me, it's going to my nerves. As a nearby resident, I'm here to oppose the construction of the proposed cell tower near our homes, farmland, and the town's water tower. While I support efforts to improve communication infrastructure, this particular location raises serious concerns for our community. Placing a tower so close to where families live and where water supply is located introduces unnecessary risk. Long-term research on the effects constant radio frequency exposure remains limited, and the proximity to critical water infrastructure adds to the concern. I urge the town to explore alternative sites that provide coverage benefits without compromising community welfare. Locations along commercial corridors, industrial zones, or existing infrastructure corridors would be more appropriate. Modern technologies such as small cell systems or co-locating antennas on existing structures could also meet coverage needs without negative impact of a large new scale tower. Our town has always prided itself on being a safe, scenic, and family-oriented community. Approving a towering metal structure in the midst of our homes and farmland would undermine that very identity. This decision will set an existing precedent on how we balance progress with preservation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gilbert.
Appreciate all those. Anyone else?
Well, I'm just going to do this off the cuff, so I don't have any written down. My name's Rick Fleck. I live at 543 West 13th Street in Ferdinand, which is right down from where Sue and Glenn live. Two questions, well, actually one question, and I didn't know about this with the radiation that Betsy brought up, but my comment was, why can't we put it on top of the hill by the water tower? It's only an eighth of a mile or half a mile away, right across the way, for one thing. And two, I don't know what the distance is, but where that tower is going to go, if, and I understand that there's not a very good chance that it's going to go over, but if it does go over and it goes to the north, and I don't know what the distance is, but that could land right on top of Best Chair's fueling pumps. So I don't know what the distance of that would be, but those are just two of my concerns. If they could put it over by the water tower, or why not put it on top of the water tower? Then it's going to be higher, and I don't know if something like that would even be possible or not.
Since you asked the question, I will give you some background. I did some research on that. I called Midwest Engineering, Ed Peters, who is the name I got from the town, and the structural, putting a cell antenna array on a water tower. And his opinion is that that is usually not a good situation for the town, because the water tower has required maintenance. They have to paint it. They have to keep that up. If there is an antenna array, you can't paint it. You can't cover it. The antenna has to come down. So then you're dealing with AT&T at that point. Mm-hmm. In the town, dealing with AT&T can be difficult because you don't know who to contact. That contact could change. They're dealing with all sorts of things. So that was his comment. Could you? Yes. He does not recommend that usually for towns. It's usually the antennas that are located on water towers should be more closely tied to the town, such as your volunteer fire department, dispatch, police, those sorts of things that are, the REC, I think, has something up there.
I wasn't worried about putting it next to it, because that's on a hillside, and there's plenty of room up there.
So that, not I don't next know, to the water tower. See if we can get...
And you're gonna gain some elevation there, too, but you're going to be up above the trees, because that hill is a lot higher than where it's going to be at its surge.
I agree.
So that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to comment?
I too do not have notes. Hi, I'm Joan Gilliam. I'm here in support of all the neighbors who I think this would be a negative effect. I personally live close to the one that you mentioned out towards the forest, and I have felt the negative 5G, the negative effects of one, and I just would like to say that my concerns for the neighbors who are going to be close there and also the town of Ferdinand, I ask that you do not do it. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Gilliam. Is that everyone? Are there any other remonstrators that wish to speak at this time? I take that as a no.
Dom, were you able to hear everybody?
Yes, I did.
Good.
Thank you. So I guess the question, and it was kind of what I'm going to direct this to you, Mr. Pettis, at this time. So the question, obviously, you have a very specific site radius in which you are focused in this case.
Let me come up.
Yes, please. Since I'm asking you directly. Which, according to what you said earlier, basically the coordinates that AT&T gave you were right at this spot, or at least within,
yes,
within a very good radius of that. Are you able to share, or do you have the knowledge of where other sites where they look? So the Mr. Flex point, the water tower is 1,400 feet away per Google Earth. Is that something that, does the water tower prevent it because it's you're putting it next to it, the steel within the tower itself blocks the signal or anything like that, or was that considered? Or I guess what I'm asking is, can you share what other sites or locations may have been considered for this?
We had reached out to, I believe, the neighbors that, because I think, if I'm remembering, the water tower parcel is fairly small, mm-hmm. and then the neighbors that owned the property around it weren't interested.
Okay.
So that, I mean, that's, sure, there are very often places we would love to put a tower here, but we can't just eminent domain something and stick a tower. We have to go where it's willing, where we have willing landowners. And I can understand everybody's concern, all valid concerns, you know, with the tower going near your home. We are going in an industrial district, and, you know, sometimes there's not what you might typically see where you have, you know, highway commercial and neighborhood commercial and maybe neighborhood business, different districts kind of buffering and trickling down to, you know, a more of an industrial nature, or, you know, industrial next to residential. You'd only see industrial maybe around some big vacant land or the commercial. So, I mean, there's a stark difference between going straight from industrial to residential. And that's just, you know, we're permitted to go in certain places, and that's just sometimes just unfortunate fallout. Water towers, those, I know you've seen, they're done all the time, you know, but it does create a problem for the city when maintenance is required. It's just not an ideal situation. They do it in cases, but it doesn't set up the ideal situation long-term for the city, in our opinion. And regarding health concerns, you know, RF energy of this type is a non-ionizing energy. It does not affect DNA. You know, people worry about getting microwaved by these. And while, you know, if you were next to the antenna, there could be some concerns, but, you know, we are regulated by the FCC. You know, they have guidelines that we have to adhere to, and it will make sure that whatever they're turning on is within limits. To give them some perspective that people often just don't think about, is the cell phone that we're surrounded by half a dozen cell phones or Wi-Fi routers. On the ground level near a tower, you're getting more RF from your cell phone than the tower. Your Wi-Fi router is many times stronger than what you're going to get from the tower at that height. A point is that if you go to, like, you go to a big city and there's rooftop installations, you know, there is a point where you can get too close to one that is not recommended, and those areas are quarantined off, okay? But that's up somebody coming up to the rooftop next to a tower and, you know, limiting exposure there. 5G, while it doesn't travel as far, it also doesn't travel through things as well. So the further you get from a tower, it exponentially decreases in signal, and it's not a harmful, not a harmful type of energy. You know, there's lots of sources from WHO, FCC, that everything that they require is far under any kind of indication of unhealthiness. And this is always a hot topic when I talk to people. You know, my job is to contact landowners and see if they're interested in a tower. And the health concern always comes up pretty frequently. And if you go online, you can find exactly what you look for. You know, why is cell phone towers harmful? You will find data on that. You can find whatever you search for, you will find. But it, there's just not enough proof now that nothing's founded that it causes any health concerns, especially to the water supply, when most of the time they put them on towers and locations that have to be approved by the FCC. And it's just, I understand the concern. There's just not findings to show otherwise on that. So I never try to change people's mind, because people have their opinion. And, I'll tell them, well, I don't have a concern, with what data we have. And, of course, I'm the guy trying to get them to get a cell tower. So it's falls on, not deaf ears, but they, of course, I'm trying to tell them that. But there's just not proof that there's health concerns. What were the other questions?
I think the only other one that we talked about a couple times was the fall concern. If it falls to the north, it would be on a fueling station for the industry that's right there.
I had kind of lengthy conversations with the attorney for Best Chairs. They were this close to signing up. They didn't like some of the lease language. They were going to put us in that spot right behind the fueling tanks. So they weren't concerned about that. We just couldn't agree on some lease language with them, so they pulled back. Then we went out and we were able to secure SERS. But again, the fall risk is, you're not going to have any windy day in the tower fall down. It's going to be a catastrophic wind event where, I tell people, what if it falls on my house? If the tower falls down, your house is probably not standing at that point.
Yeah. For reference, I did read through the professional engineer's assessment of that and saw the same thing. At least the letter, and that is a professional engineer on record in the state of Indiana. So.
I did miss a question I was going to ask you. Did you guys contact the airport, Dunnenberg Airport? Is that going to cause a problem with them? And number two, Best Chairs also has hot air balloons that go up and down closer. I don't even know where they land anymore. If they do, I know one landed in my front yard. But I'm just concerned about them getting there. If they get their hot air balloons up there and they can't get enough lift, would they be able, is there going to be a problem?
Well, it's as far as, they're not a registered, airport facility. We've gotten all our FCC FAA clearances that it's not a concern from the airport. There's trees, there's hazards all over for hot air balloons, and I know hot air balloon, they do, rallies and all kinds of areas and fly. That's just, just a hazard of flying a hot air balloon, but, it's not even high enough to warrant being lit by the FAA. So
we also got our pesticide planes that fly by and do the crops,
mm-hmm.
So we've had a couple of them crash already, but I don't know what happened to them, but. Same thing with that in that area. That's a fly zone for them to spray the fields.
Helicopters
and planes.
It is an added obstruction, but pilots are highly trained, and it will be marked on the maps as a tower. It's all on the FAA maps, FCC maps. You go and you do a tower registration. It will be a registered tower, so it will show up on their instruments if they have instruments, or with their, a knowledgeable pilot, then they look for hazards in the area, or it's just, that's kind of unavoidable. It's going to be something sticking up in the sky for sure, but there's only so much we can do to circumvent individual issues.
Now, I know at 600 feet you have to have a beacon at 590 and 195. Are you still going to have a beacon light on there for showing?
At this time, the FAA is not requiring it to be lit. It would not be designed as artificially lit. And we don't have, it's not final yet from the FAA, but right now it's indicating that they won't require lighting.
Okay, that's all I have.
Did I miss any questions or concerns?
None that I don't think so. I'll, the health concerns, I think you covered the water tower, the fall concerns. You gave comment on the industrial being up next to a residential area in this particular instance. So I didn't see anything there.
Are the members interested in having access to and reading any of the publications that Mr. Pettis mentioned about refuting the health, the youth health aspects of the challenge?
I mean, I just did a Google search and have a few citations.
I guess you're asking about the ones that...
Yeah, the WHO and the FAA ones that refute the...
Like, I just pulled some internet searches that says, from the WHO, WHO 2006, from all evidence so far, no adverse short or long-term health effects have been shown to occur from RF signals produced by base stations. FCC, measurements near typical installations show ground-level power densities thousands times less than FCC safety limit. FDA, in 2020, the weight of scientific evidence has not linked RF exposure from cell phones with any health problems. And the International Committee of Non-Ionizing Radiation, 2020, field strength decreases very rapidly with distance from the source. And then... Again, we just forget about cell phones and everything else, Bluetooth devices, everything else around us that already is emitting that. I don't know. Go ahead.
And yet there is also, there are articles online and searches that workers performing maintenance or any form of tasks on the tower have to have special protective gear, very limited time, monitoring everything else because of health risk.
Yes, by the antenna at ground level. Like I said, with the rooftop situation, they quarantine a certain area off.
Right.
So no, I would not recommend going and sitting on the antenna.
Right.
And the workers do have to take precautions.
Right. And we do have, and I've actually witnessed, we have bald eagles down here and everything else, and I've literally watched them fly over and land on them unbeknownst to them that they shouldn't be sitting there. Mm-hmm. And they have actually done studies where the eggs have been damaged. And there are records of things like that also online, sir.
Yep.
So it's all not disputed. There are items that have shown some pretty hefty effects.
Sure, but
that's
an antenna at point blank ranked. I don't dispute that at all.
Right.
I would not go.
But the kids down here also are known to climb water towers and climb things, and is it going to be accessible for the kids on a boring Friday night to climb the tower to spray paint?
If they're very adventurous, it'll be a 6-inch chain link fence with barbed wire on it.
That won't deter the farm kids. They have the tools.
That's up to their judgment, and you know, we make the reasonable accommodations to dissuade that type of thing, but when somebody has their mindset to something, they'll do it, whether their safety's at risk or not. So,
and signs in place, I understand they still do it, but it's a hazard.
So you mentioned, and may I ask, FirstNet. Can you go into details about what that is? I don't know that I understand it completely.
Yeah, that's just a prioritized first responder. You know, I think if you talk to your local fire chief, police chief, they'd probably be familiar with FirstNet. It just gives first responders priority to the network. You know, if something happens and it gets jammed up, they get a priority line to use their equipment.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I guess, let me see if I can find where the... just for reference for those in the attending tonight, so there are findings that must be met and presented by the petitioner before the BZA can grant or deny the, in this case, the special exception and the variance. I will read those, unless there are any other questions or comments I'd ask at this time. If not, I'm going to read those so you know what they have, what we have to go through in order to, like I said, to grant or deny the special exception and variance for this one. So, the Board of Zoning Appeals, being duly advised, does hereby make the following findings, which shall be made part of the Board's record of the proceedings. And that is,
The applicant has or has not provided sufficient evidence to support a special exception, and that is, number one, the subject real estate is zoned either agriculture or industrial. And in this case, I believe it is industrial, and that is...
Yes. A small amount, whether that helps gain perspective, it's this area right here.
It is the purple within that yellow?
Yeah.
Thank you. Number two, under the current zoning ordinance, a special exception must be obtained.
Correct. Our land use chart shows that they are not permitted by right in any district other than industrial and ag, and only if it gets a special exception.
The applicant has applied for a building permit to locate the wireless facility or wireless support structure as indicated above, and the application contains all information required in the ordinance, namely being that the name, business address, and point of contact for the applicant, which I think I found in here.
The petitioner intends to, if granted the special exception, submit their building permit at that time. Is that correct, Mr. Pettis?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. The B, the location for the proposed or affected wireless support and structure, which that has been presented. And C, a construction plan as defined herein that describes the proposed wireless, the support structure, and all equipment and network components, including antennas, transmitters, receivers, base stations, power supplies, cabling, and related equipment, and certification of its fall zone, which I think I read through this, not being a professional or a, as you said, an RF engineer or anything to that effect, but I think it's all, I saw it all there. D, evidence supporting the choice of location, including without limitation, maps or plats showing the proposed locations of applicant's proposed wireless support structure. If the proposed location is on private property, a contract with an owner of real property, owner upon which the wireless facility and wireless support structure are to be located, and a power of attorney giving applicant the right to seek permit if the application is not submitted in the owner's name, and a sworn statement from the individual responsible for the choice of location demonstrating that co-location of wireless facilities on an existing wireless support structure was not a viable option because co-location would, A, would not result in the same wireless service or functionality, coverage, or capacity. I'm going to ask for you to answer. Tell me if it is A, B, or C, or a combination of therein, Mr. Pettis?
I would say A.
Technically infeasible? Or
yeah, there was nothing to co-locate on besides possibly the tower, water tower.
And is an economic burden to the applicant. So A. Did I miss any there that anybody wants to go back to?
No.
So these are yes, no. Applicant has been advised that application is complete and of upcoming BZA date and time for consideration. I believe that is correct.
Everything was submitted on the 1st, and we had 10 days to say, hey, you've missed something. And we did not notify of any omission.
Thank you, Sharon. The structure on the application meet the definition contained in the Ferdinand Zoning Ordinance for wireless facility and wireless support structure. Wireless facility being means the set of equipment and network components necessary to provide wireless communication service. The term does not include a wireless support structure. And wireless support structure means a freestanding structure designed to support wireless facilities. This does not include a utility pole or an electrical transmission tower. Structure on the application. No, I believe they do meet that. The proposed telecommunication tower will be situated as depicted on the mapping which is attached to these findings.
Those large packets that we received on or about the 1st of October will actually be part of the record of these proceedings.
The setback distances are for front, rear, and side yards are in compliance with terms of this ordinance. And that is, that's part of the,
That's the only section that refers to the variance.
Yeah,
that,
that's the variance thing, right?
Because of its, the engineer's report on what the fall zone is, that would be a variance that would ordinarily be allowable because of the engineer's report.
The application was reviewed within 10 business days of receipt. An applicant was notified. You've already answered this. The need for BZA hearing for a special exception. And then these, number 8, looks like it is a number of different ones. And Mr. Pettis, I'll ask, if you filled these out already, as Jenny mentioned earlier, I would ask that when I'm done reading them, you read your answers. Do you have?
I filled out some. Sharon sent it to me, but I kind of read this is your guys' impression if everything was satisfied, but I do have some answers.
Okay.
He's going to seek from you what evidence you provided that established each of these new ratings.
That's what it'll be. So I'm on number 8 if you're looking, if you guys don't have that. So the question is, was sufficient evidence provided that the fall zone requirements have been met and is evidenced by a professional engineer's certification, which was included in the applicant's construction plan, to which the permitting party agrees, disagrees. If disagrees, has evidence been provided to indicate that the applicant's certificate is flawed? So this is the main thing, is that fall zone requirements have been met and is evidenced by a PE's certification. And so you, for this one.
So the submission of the fall zone letter.
Yes.
Covers that.
Thank you. The communication tower is located so that there is sufficient radius of clear land surrounding the tower so that its collapse shall be completely contained on the property. Towers and accessory or similar structures are designed, landscaped, fenced, and secured so as not to pose an attractive nuisance to children.
So it's kind of a two-parter.
Yes.
You know, so black and white, no, there's not sufficient radius for clear land surrounding the tower, but we're, you know, addressing that in a different way. And the structure will be landscaped and fenced. You know, it's actually a side entry to this, so from the right of way, it'll just be trees.
So number 9, does the proposed telecommunication tower meet the following requirements? Fencing and screening requirements, communication towers, and any equipment enclosure shall be visually screened on a year-round basis with suitable vegetation. Notwithstanding any minimum size requirements found elsewhere in this ordinance, the scale and nature of the vegetation shall be of sufficient density to screen the lowest 10 feet of the communication tower and equipment enclosure within 3 years of installation. A security fence shall be erected within the visually screened area and each component part of the communication tower.
So we believe we meet the fencing requirements. The screening, there are, I believe, count them, if I can find my sheet here. There are 22 lignan cypress surrounding, planted at 10 feet apart. Those, just with a, for reference, the mature height on those is 40 to 70 feet. Mature width is 15 to 25 feet. Just with having some experience with plants, you know, you don't always usually like see the maximum mature. So, you know, we call it 40 feet high, 15 feet wide, should create a thick barrier. You know, they're pretty fast growing when they're younger, 3 to 4 feet per year.
The B part of this question, lighting, antenna, and communication tower shall not be illuminated by artificial means and shall not display strobe lights unless such is specifically required by the FAA or other federal and state authority for a particular communication tower. When incorporated into the approved design of the communication tower, light fixtures used to illuminate ball fields, parking lots, or similar areas may be attached to the communication tower.
We should not be required by the FAA to light, and we're not designing it to be lit unless they require it.
See signage, the use of any portion of a communications tower facility for signs other than warning or equipment signs is prohibited. All such signage must comply with the sign requirements of this ordinance. This requirement may be superseded by the written requirements of the federal and state agencies possessing jurisdiction over communications towers.
It would just be a tower identifier sign just to show the registration number, and then and the owner and a contact number and the various warning signs.
Aesthetics. The communication tower and any antenna located on the communication tower must be designed to blend into the surrounding environment through the use of color such as metallic gray, silver, or green, and camouflaging architectural treatment. Where feasible, communication towers should be designed structurally to allow other carriers to locate on the tower structure, thereby reducing the total number of future towers. The integration of a communications facility into an existing or proposed structure, such as a church steeple, light standard, power line support, flagpole, or similar structure, is encouraged. These requirements may be superseded by written requirements of federal and state agencies possessing jurisdiction over the communication tower.
So, you know, a tower is hard to hide. We are using a monopole design here, which is the least obtrusive of the towers, and blending it with a non-reflective, just gray coating. It is designed for two additional co-locators, which, you know, is an effort to reduce, you know, proliferation of towers in a region. Like if Verizon wants to come in, they won't look for a whole new site. The Verizon will contact Vertical Bridge and lease from Vertical Bridge on their tower. And then as far as integration into a church steeple or light standard, you know, these are more dealing with something on the line of a small cell network that are just very small and localized. Those, you'll see those in busy intersection stadiums. They're just basically a serious Wi-Fi router. You know, they're just made for small, locally dense areas. And if you had them in town, you'd have to have them on every other street pole probably.
Visual impact analysis. In the case of a new communication tower or where an existing structure is being enlarged in size, a visual impact analysis shall be prepared and certified by a qualified professional engineer or architect. Such analysis shall include the following information: identification of significant existing natural and man-made features adjacent to the proposed communication tower location, indicating those features that will provide
buffing
for adjacent properties and rights of way. I'm sorry, I had a pause there. So there's identification. So this would be the visual impact analysis.
Significant existing natural man-made features. So, you know, whenever possible that we, you know, we use existing vegetation as a buffer, but again, you're trying to hide a tower, and just it's limited, buffering for adjacent properties and right of way. You know, I think there are some trees, very few between the just adjacent neighbor, but we can hide the facility, but we can't completely hide the tower. I'm sorry I'm giving you roundabout answers. You have to write this down.
No, I appreciate the thought you're on.
As far as the visual analysis, I believe there were some photos.
There was one completed. I read through that as well from the, as required by the ordinance, from no less than three spots and no more than 5 degrees from a visual. The surrounding residences and I think another location.
Yeah, so we submitted the visual impact analysis. From east of the tower, you know, closer into town, you know, with existing tree cover, it was not visible. We're picking a spot 2,000 feet out, so it's going to have some variation. North of the tower, off of, looks like 23rd Street, it was, photo indicated, it was barely visible above the trees from that point, just inside that neighborhood street. And then probably most visible as you come into town from the west on, goes off of West 9th Street, turns into something else. I don't have the name of that street, but just as you come into town from the west, I mean, you see it. But it doesn't stick out as far as you would think, just with the rise and elevation of the town. It kind of, for the most part, blends into that surrounding. Doesn't just tower above everything. And then coming in from the south, until you get close, it's, again, this is right about 2,000 feet. It's shielded from trees. I'm sure further outside of town, you can see it if you look forward. And, of course, when you get closer, you can see it there. But we selected those locations and showed them to Sharon, and she thought those would be okay.
All right. I didn't see them. Thank you. Number two, identification of at least three specific points within a 2,000-foot radius of the proposed communication tower from which the line of the site analysis was presented. I think that's still what you're talking about.
That's what we just discussed.
The exact number and location of these points shall be determined in coordination with staff, Sharon. Prior to the preparation and completion, applicant shall then prepare a graphic illustration of the visual impact of the proposed communication tower at scale that does not exceed 5 degrees of horizontal distance presented from specific points identified. And such shall be computer-enhanced photograph with a computer-generated tower image depicted to an accurate scale, shall include text indicating from where the photograph was taken and how many feet, and that is submitted. A statement as to the potential visual and aesthetic impacts of the proposed on all adjacent properties. Such statement shall provide specific explanation as to the feasibility of camouflage given the needed height and design of the tower.
Immediately adjacent landowners, you know, there's no hiding it from them, the tower itself, and just an effort to, main effort is to be able to shield the base, the facility on the ground from view as much as possible. And that it be a monopole tower instead of a lattice tower.
And number four, such other additional information as may be required to fully review. I don't know if you have anything more. That was submitted.
What would be filled in there would be if the members considered that they needed to have some of those reports on the negative, to refute the negative health impacts.
Okay. And then we're on to, I guess, F, which is also a yes, no. General requirements
Building permit is required for every communication tower facility. Every building permit which is an application permit for a communication tower facility shall be accompanied by the following additional information. And I think based on a previous answer, you have not submitted a building permit. So I guess this is just a precursor to that then?
Right. I mean, it's not unheard of to apply for the building permit if and when you receive a special exception. And if you do not, then the permit is not issued. I'm only aware of one other cell tower that's been before the BZA since 1999, and that procedure was allowed with that one as well.
Thank you, Sharon. So I'll just read it for complete certification, stating the reasons why the new structure cannot or will not be shared with additional users in the future. Certification by a qualified and licensed professional engineer that the design of the antenna support tower conforms to the latest structural standards and wind loading requirements of the Uniform Building Code and the Electronic Industry Association. Such certification must take into account any existing or proposed future users of the antenna support structure. Inspection, commercial wireless communication service providers shall provide documentation that proposed communications facilities comply with the latest applicable federal and state environmental health and safety standards, including those established by the FCC, or Federal Communications Commission, on radio frequency emissions and exposure thereto.
So all of this is part of a building permit. I mean, these were included in the package as information. I mean, they will allow co-location. That's in the design as shown on the construction drawings. And you know, the design elements, you have the codes cited as far as any kind of building code.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Pettis.
And then, of course, inspections, I mean, they'll comply with whatever you need to request.
That was read earlier that the facility shall be required to be inspected at no expense to the town of Ferdinand by a qualified and licensed professional engineer on the following timetable. This being a model pole would be once every 10 years. And this is also part of that, Mr. Pettis, as far as the given general requirement. If the inspection engineer finds the facility to be structurally sound, he or she shall provide the owner, operator, and the permit authority with the written certification that the facility meets the minimum safety standards of the Uniform Building Code and the Electronic Industry Association. C, any safety problems or failure to comply with the design approved at the time of permit issuance shall be reported by certified mail, return receipt requested by the engineer to the owner, operator of the facility and to the planning department. The owner, operator of the facility must correct the deficiencies within 30 days. The engineer shall then re-inspect the facility. If the engineer finds that the deficiencies have not been corrected, he or she shall provide the owner, operator, and the planning department with a certification that the facility meets the minimum safety standards of the Uniform Building Code and Electronic Industry Association. In the event that an owner, operator fails to schedule the required inspection in a timely fashion, the town shall notify the owner operator of the requirement and shall allow 60 days for the owner operator to obtain said inspection. If the inspection has not taken place in that time, the town may choose an engineer to perform the inspection, placing a lien upon the property for the costs of such inspection and for any required repairs. Delay by the town in taking action under this provision shall not in any way waive the town's right to take action. And then obsolete communications towers or unused communications towers. The discontinuation of use, disconnection, or shutdown of any communication facility shall be reported immediately in writing by the service provider to the Executive Secretary of the Plan Commission, notwithstanding any provision of this ordinance indicating otherwise. Communication tower facilities that are not operated for communication for a period of 6 months or more shall be deemed to be abandoned. Such discontinued facilities shall be completely removed within 6 months of the cessation of operations, and the site shall be restored to its pre-existing condition. If such communication tower facility is not removed within 6 months, the town of Ferdinand may remove the discontinued facility at the owner's expense. If there are two or more users of a single communication tower facility, this provision shall not apply until all users cease operating from said communication tower facility.
And all of those things that he just read become a condition to the building permit, and they're attached to the permit itself. Okay. If and when one is ever issued.
Okay.
And then adjacent and affected property owners have been timely notified and newspaper publication was timely made. And I believe those are, yes, you have those. And then finally, written determination was made by the BZA, which would be these findings.
You do have one member absent.
Yes.
It would be within the petitioner's prerogative to indicate that you would request that it be tabled to allow the fifth member to participate and vote upon it. It would be within the discretion of the BZA to defer to a subsequent meeting if you believe that there needs to be more time to perhaps research some of the things that were mentioned here, or just to allow that fifth member to have some input and a vote on it. So that's kind of where it is when you have an absence.
I think you know we have five members of the board. To grant the variance and special exception would require a minimum of three yeses to any motion made to do that.
How does it work if it's, you know, if it's tied and need to hear again, we just get on another meeting, or?
No, if it's tied, it's not granted.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a benefit toward having the input of that fifth member. I will give you that much. That's certainly true.
Yeah, at this point,
I guess technically we could run the risk of being in the same situation with the next meeting potentially.
You could, but you wouldn't have a tie. If all five are there, you're going to get one way or another.
And even if you say you'd rather not request be tabled, they can still table it until the next one.
Because of, as Sharon said, there is anything that we would like to investigate further so that we do the due diligence for the town.
The only time frame we're under is a 90-day time frame to act upon the petition.
From this meeting or from?
It's usually calculated from this meeting.
I mean, if you guys would like to table, that's of course, we'll go with that. I would just, I guess, say proceed tonight. They have us on timelines for these, so, I don't know, it's $1 million question.
You won't get a special meeting, I can tell you that, because we're already 1 week earlier than we usually are.
Because
of the Thanksgiving holiday. So that helps you to a certain extent, because the next meeting would be the 19th, which isn't an extraordinary period of time.
The only thing I could do is request to call my project manager at Vertical Bridge and see how they want to handle. If you can give me a couple of minutes, I can step outside and, if that's permitted.
But the BZA could, I guess if they want to table it first, then
we'll just.
It would be their prerogative first to say they want, whether or not they'd like to table it. Don Forrester, how do you feel?
The way I feel right now, tabling it would be the appropriate thing for us, because I'm concerned about the health issues. I'd like to reinvestigate the local neighbors and how the site plan is, and figure out why they couldn't put this tower outside the town limits because of health issues and stuff. So I'm not in good signs at the moment.
Okay. I think since we have one member that wants to do that, then I would make them, it would be a motion, right?
It would.
Table.
Mm-hmm.
Until the November meeting.
November 19th. To defer decision until then. Don, would you second that motion, since you were the member that indicated you'd like more time?
I would second that motion, because I'm real concerned about health issues of towers that close to residents and the general public, and then the site plan of it being so right in the middle of town, basically. I'd rather see it on the edge of town or outside the limits of town a little farther. But that's just me.
If we have 90 days from today's date, if we would still need to table it again in November for further investigative purposes?
I would ask you to try everything possible to try and make a decision on the 19th.
I would do the same. I wouldn't want to table this anymore.
No.
That really wouldn't be
But if it's a 90-day, that's what I was just trying to think.
I would say.
Well, I would have my decision. I'd make my decision tonight if I need to make a decision.
I agree with that. So that motion has been made. And we vote on that. There's no more discussion on the motion then, right? Because I'll vote by roll. So a motion has been made and seconded to defer decision until the November meeting. We'll do that by roll. Don Farina?
No.
Don Forrester?
Yes.
Genevieve Jones absent. Jenny Etter?
Yes.
Mark Dilger? Yes. So we will defer decision until November 19th. Now, does that preclude us from discussing this any further in this meeting?
No, you're deferring your decision until then.
Okay.
And we're reconvening until then. Anyone that's present, you know when the 19th November meeting, you won't get a second notice in the mail by certified mail. Any of your other neighbors, if they couldn't come tonight and they're interested in participating at the 19th meeting, they are certainly allowed to. So, you know, if they do ask you that, be sure you tell them. And if they have questions about time, location, date, you can always call me. Okay.
So I think while we're on that, Mr. Curtis, I will ask a few things. So my concerns, I feel like you make a good, shouldn't say a good point. I'm aware that the cell phones, the Wi-Fi routers, and everything that is around us is probably being held. The health concerns are not where my head is. Mine is the location of this tower, and I understand the constraints that you've been given. I think if you can help show that you had due diligence or what other sites may have been looked at, so I would ask specifics on that. So you contacted a landowner. You said two landowners, actually, that you couldn't come to terms with, and where those sites are, that would be helpful for the next meeting from you. And if there's any more, I would ask for those. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I think there are others on the board that obviously want to do more research into the health themselves. I won't speak for them, but I'll let them do that.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any other, Jenny or Don, anything outstanding that we're asking Vertical Bridge and Mr. Curtis, or at least the representative, to come back? That would be helpful. And in order to make a decision on that night. So.
What's going to happen if Mr. Jones will show up again and we're back in the same square spot?
So if we were missing a member at that point?
She has a conflict that could not be moved tonight. I indicated that she could advise me if this time and date is problematic, and she said that it isn't, just tonight.
My opinion on that is we will move forward one way or another, whether we have four or five there tonight, either way.
Okay.
I agree.
So, I appreciate the time, the effort, the information that was provided. I think this was all very thoroughly done. Like I said, that there were a couple things. Given the remonstrators tonight, I think it would be in the board's best interest to make sure that we have all the information we need to make the best decision we can for the town and its residents.
Sure. So. You'll have a beautiful town. I love it. It's quaint and nice, and everybody's concerns are valid. You know, I understand that. There's two sides, you know. As I walked into the Comfort Inn up the road to check in, and the young man asked me if I was in for business, and said, "Yeah." So, what do you do? And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get a new cell tower in the area." And he was ecstatic, you know. So it kind of depends on who you ask. You know, typically, you know, we do get more of that position. People that, you know, would like coverage for, you know, telehealth or remote learning, things like that. You know, they tend to be the quiet group. So
well, I am,
but I understand your
caution and, you know, got to do best by the town, so.
Yes, that's the real reason. Looking at the propagation map, and I don't know that anybody here saw it, but the propagation map is, assuming that the green means good, as it normally does, is vastly improved from what it currently is for AT&T coverage.
Mm-hmm. And I know when I was here last for the initial site walk with the surveyor and the landowner, we were going to another site. I forget where it was, but north of here, and I had a call I had to make, and it was just in and out, you know, down the highway a little bit, you know. So I know the need's there. It's just the problem is we just can't put it where put it where we would like. We have to put it where it'll go.
And I think just for publics and have it on record, the first net is a very important thing to have. Our first responders having clear and good coverage, regardless of whatever cell network they're on, is important for the safety and welfare of the community as well. So.
And since we're tabling and something else to consider, it is not unheard of for Vertical Bridge to allow municipalities to co-locate on the tower. If you had emergency services, something that need, you know, antennas, something like that on the tower, they usually will accommodate those types of requests, you know, just to allow you just to go in there, you know. They may have you put your own meter out there, you know, for whatever's required, you know, but usually they'll make room if that had any bearing on.
No, that's good to know, too, that all of that information helps to help us make a fully formed decision.
Okay.
So, again, I appreciate you coming in. Thank you for presenting and everything you did present already. We will do our work to make sure that we are prepared at the November 19th meeting to present that or make the grant or denial of the variance and special.
Will there be as much presentation next time, or are y'all just kind of getting together for a decision, or probably any questions following that maybe? Or
so we've covered the findings already, so we will not have to go through that again.
No, there might be some additional questions that you want, and I was going to ask, would the board have any objection? Where do you hail from? I'm sorry.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. Would you be opposed to petitioner appearing via Zoom? For the
19th. I have no problem meeting personally. I think that's
okay. I didn't know if it was a
no, it's not gonna be a problem for me.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
I'm gonna first that typically. Then we're gonna have a technical issue and something else, you know.
Okay,
so
I appreciate that.
I will be here.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.
Okay, so before we finish up here, so that means our next regular scheduled meeting is
we have old business.
You have old business? Where did I buried it somewhere.
If you look in your packets, we used to provide the Plan Commission with the permit list, and since we do have quite a few in 2025, I've provided you with a list of the sign ordinances, the sign permits, the building permits, and the fence permits, and that's just an FYI.
Thank you.
You also have proposed membership list, and the best news that's on there is our president and member of the BZA, Mark Dilger, has agreed to an additional term.
I get to
make that letter to the commissioners and ask them to reappoint him, and then the plan commission would appoint him to the BZA. And there's also a meeting list in your packet, and I can tell you that I have some typos that are on there that you can just correct on your list, and it'll be corrected by the time we go to the next meeting. If you look on there, the file application with town, go down to the meeting that's on June 24th. Those last two digits didn't go away, so it's May 20th. You've got a four-digit number there.
May
24th? May
20th.
It's just the first two digits.
And then the July 22nd, right underneath that should say June 20th. This is a little bit different than how this was set up in the past, and that's because if I'm doing it, I want to have more time than 2 days to type someone's legal description and get something, you know, at for perhaps being gone the week before and having to accommodate them and get them to the paper so that 2 days later they can get it to the paper. I think it for my office, it would work a lot smoother. It's always the 20th, or if that's on a week, and to have a date that's close to that for the submission, and that way it's consistent, and it allows more time to get the paper notice for the people and the certifieds, get them lined up for the deadlines that they need to have.
And as I was put the email together with my conversation with the new postmaster, the mail has been crazy, and they said that they're working their best.
By statute, we can't require them to mail those notices a whole lot earlier than what we are now. So it was great that they said they're certified, because you only have to show that you mailed it. You don't have to show that they picked it up and received it. So that's why some time ago we added the certificate of mailing as an option for it.
It's not really our post office. It's the post office.
Correct.
Louisville. They're still having problems over there.
And they're bouncing mail between, it goes to Evansville, then it goes to Louisville, then it goes back. She told me it's literally hitting.
Is that all the old business? Or do you have one more? I should say one more thing, Sharon.
Review your membership list. If your information changed, or you want a different email address, or you want a different phone number on there, please let me know so that I can accommodate that request.
I can do that. I'm actually good with mine. Just because I don't always read it or reply doesn't mean I don't want that one as well.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you for all that work. I appreciate everybody being here. With that, I will make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
With Don being on, we will go by roll. Motion made and seconded to adjourn. Mark Dilger, yes. Don Farina?
Yes.
Don Forrester?
Yes.
Jenna Jones, Beaker Jones, absent. Jenny Etter?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1. Meeting is adjourned at 8:11 p.m. So, thank you all.
Since we've approved these minutes, I would like you to sign them.
Yeah.
And Don Forrester, the minutes were provided to you earlier.
Yes.
Are you okay if I sign your name to them?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because if you do have a qualm about that, I'll bring them to your house and say you're signing them. So you just have to let me know, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll put my initials behind it. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, Don.
Many of you are interested in seeing the propagation map, just for reference. If you haven't seen it, I will share that with you.
Well, we made it. That was the plugger way to get Don here, but we got him here. I think he clicked on the one that says to my phone.
I did too.
But it's okay.
That's the main thing. We had a backup.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Quite welcome.
I'm on the neighborhood right next right door.
That's what we're here for. We listen to all sides, and we have to do our best for the community.
Jenny, I don't think I've met you.
I see you around, but
yes.
Does it put that name with the face?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm Betty.
I'm Jenny.
Nice to meet you.
And you probably see me over holiday foods all the time.
Yes,
fried
yes.
chicken all day.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah. Always fried chicken.
Well, and I don't know.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm
going to
send a screenshot.
Mr. Pettison
broke
a bridge in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah,
I
posted it publicly, so
you'll
be able to see it. Just go to my page. Good information.
I don't know how much it is outside.
You know,
that's it.
Yeah, we do our due diligence.
Right.
We've got
you
lots
do
of research to do.
Definitely.
You do a great job.
There's lots of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on.
I can't even imagine what you all have to do to prepare for all this.
5G lots.
Thank you.
It's weekend homework for me with coffee, and I sit there, the house is quiet, and I'm not frying chicken.
Dogs, you've been
in front of
it.
Not too long.